and welcome to the Heart Exchange podcast. You are here with Sarah and Lewis.
Hello.
All right?
Yeah, who are you? It's been so long.
Sorry that there hasn't been a few episodes out. We're not going to go into massive detail, but we're sorry.
We're sorry. We're always sorry.
But we are back, and we promise you an episode for the next 2 weeks.
For now, we can guarantee you two episodes.
So fingers crossed, it'll all be fine. Shall we just crack on with it?
Let's crack on.
I've gone back to the roots of the podcast this week.
And okay.
Got some first-hand account, ghost stories, paranormal stories for you.
I thought the roots of the podcast was tickling.
No, unfortunately not.
As far as I'm aware, that was the start of the podcast.
Way out of line. Now we've got some nice little ghost stories.
Nice ghost stories.
Are you ready?
Always.
Every culture, every corner of the globe has its own ghostly folklore, handed down through generations like whispers in the night. These spectral beings trapped between the realms of the living and the dead have the power to evoke fear, wonder, and even empathy. From the restless souls seeking justice to lost lovers still searching for solace, our stories will take you on a roller coaster of emotions. We might encounter some vengeful spirits, and maybe some benevolent phantoms who offer guidance from beyond the grave. Be warned, dear listeners, for the tales we weave are not for the faint of heart.
Ooh.
Brace yourselves as we journey into the darkness where whispers from beyond echo through the corridors of time.
I'm braced.
Open your mind to the possibility of the supernatural.
Well, imagine our listeners are pretty open. If they've got
that
this.
That was aimed at you.
Oh, it's aimed at me. Oh, okay. Okay, I will open my mind now.
So gather round the virtual campfire, dim the lights and prepare to be captivated by Highly Strange.
We don't need a campfire, it's fucking hot in here.
Remember, dear listeners, in the world of ghost stories, reality is not always what it seems.
Wow. It really came in at like fucking hundreds, you know what I mean? Came in full gusto with that intro.
Story one. I think we've got four.
We've got four.
I believe I did four.
Are we ramping up in fear?
No, not really.
Okay.
We'll just see how it goes, okay? The old Victorian house stood stoically on the edge of town, its once grandeur now faded with time, abandoned for decades. It had become the subject of eerie legends and ghostly tales. The townsfolk whispered of a malevolent spirit that haunted its decaying halls, a restless soul with unfinished business. Curiosity drew me in, and I found myself determined to uncover the truth behind this haunting. As twilight descended, I cautiously stepped through the creaking front door, my heart pounding in anticipation. The air inside was thick with dust and the scent of decay. The silence was deafening, broken only by the sound of my own footsteps echoing through the empty corridors. Shadows danced on the peeling wallpaper as I ventured deeper into the heart of the house. It was then that I first felt a chilling presence, an otherworldly energy that sent shivers down my spine. A cold gust of wind brushed past me, extinguishing the flickering candle I carried. Panic welled up within me as I fumbled for matches in the darkness. Striking one, the flame flickered to life, revealing the spectre of a figure at the end of the corridor. A woman stood before me, her translucent from ethereal and hauntingly beautiful. Her eyes bore into mine, filled with sadness and longing. Her ghostly voice resonated in my mind, recounting a tale of loss and tragedy. She was Sarah.
I was thinking you do look a bit more translucent than normal this morning, but...
That's my fake tans come off. A young woman who had once lived in this very house, destined for happiness until her untimely demise. Sarah's spirit guided me through the house, revealing hidden rooms and forgotten secrets. She showed me the parlour where she had danced with her beloved, the library where they had shared passionate conversations, and the garden where they had strolled hand in hand. Each space carried memories of a love cut short by a cruel twist of fate. As days turned into weeks, my connection with Sarah deepened. She became more than a ghostly apparition. She became a friend, a confidant. Together we unravelled the events that had led to her demise. Sarah had been murdered by a jealous suitor who could not bear to see her in the arms of another. Her spirit remained bound to the house, her soul unable to find peace. Driven by a desire to help Sarah find closure, I delved into the town's archives, piecing together the fragmented history of her tragic end. Armed with the truth, I returned to the house, ready to confront the lingering darkness that had consumed Sarah's spirit. In the dead of night, I stood in the very room where Sarah had taken her last breath. A sense of heaviness filled the air, as if the house itself held its breath in anticipation. With trembling hands, I performed a ritual to release Sarah's soul from its earthly confines, to break the chains that bound her. As the final incantation escaped my lips, the room was filled with an ethereal light. Sarah's spirit materialised before me one last time. She radiated with gratitude and serenity. She thanked me for my unwavering determination for helping her find peace at long last. With a gentle smile, Sarah's apparition faded away. The haunting ceased, and the old Victorian house reclaimed a semblance of its former glory. The townsfolk marvelled at the transformation, sensing the release of a tortured soul. In the aftermath, the legends of the haunted house turned into tales of redemption and hope. The spirits that once dwelled within those walls found solace, their stories woven into the fabric of the town's folklore. And I, forever changed by my encounter with the supernatural, I carry the memory of Sarah's haunting with me.
That was really romantic. Is that the vibe that that story was going for?
Yeah, I guess. Oh. It's nice to have a happy haunting.
Yeah.
You know, it's not all broken eggshells and green glue streaming down the walls. Sometimes it's quite pleasant.
Oh.
This one involves Hitler.
I was promised fear and terror, and you hit me immediately with like some romantic love story. But Hitler, okay. Okay, I'm ready for Hitler.
Short and sweet, so here we go.
Like Hitler. He was quite short.
Don't cut that out. Lulu confessing his love.
I edit the podcast. I control what you hear.
Sounds like Hitler. This wartime letter from a reader identifying themselves as OATS Surrey was published on February 27th, 1942. In Scotland last year, while walking through an ancient forest with my husband, we took a shortcut through the wild glen and intended to walk down the bank of Fillan to Crianlark.
Nailed it.
Yeah. We came to an open space, flat and treeless and full of sun haze. As we entered, my husband remarked, "I don't like this place. It's too old and dead." I was about to reply that I felt it only peaceful, but I suddenly had the sensation of depression, almost amounting to hopelessness. What I saw was more of a feeling as if all about me was snow, under a leaden sky, and behind me there were people, and their eyes were without hope. My husband saw that I was oddly frightened, and so we left. We told them at the hotel that we'd felt spooky at one place in the forest. The late Mr. Alistair Stewart said, "Oh yes, that would be where a whole village was lost in the snow and they all starved to death." We are both Celtic, but neither of us in the least psychic. One thing I do know is that if I was ever chased by Hitler and his grisly gang, I would not enter that forest again.
Well, I don't think Hitler did any chasing, did he?
I just like how they were like, 1942, that was Hitler.
Hitler, definitely Hitler.
Are you ready for story three?
Any dictators in this one or
love story
or dictator? No.
No. Sometimes they can go hand in hand.
I don't know when. I'm worried.
The house I was living in was called the Old Mill. My parents and I moved there when I was 14. It was a converted mill that still had a water wheel on the side. It didn't move. It had been inactive for some time. Along with all the cogs and workings of the wheel inside, it's been various different mills in its time. A sawmill, a paper mill, a flour mill. It was converted into a house in the 1950s, but the oldest parts of the house date back to the 12th century. I never really sensed anything when we viewed the house. I just found the history of the building fascinating. And it was a beautiful house, so I was excited to move there. It was about 6 months after we moved in that this man first appeared to me in my bedroom. I remember the first time I saw him. I thought someone had broken in. I remember screaming and yelling to my parents, "There's someone in the house!" But by the time they got there, he had vanished. We searched the house, nothing. No signs of him. I was freaked out for a while, and I thought maybe my mind was just playing tricks with me. But then I saw him again, about a week later, in the exact same spot in the corner of my bedroom. I remember I was home alone and screaming, "What do you want?" Still at this point thinking it was someone breaking in. I remember scrambling for my phone, ready to dial 999, but then he spoke to me and said, "I just want to be friends."
No.
"I used to live here. I just want to visit and see what you've done with the place." So I asked him when did he live here, and that's when he said 1874. I thought he was kidding, but then I noticed his clothing, and it was very old-fashioned, very Victorian era, in a brown suit holding a top hat. I screamed again and ran out into the garden. Then when I went back in, he was gone. I was so freaked. I didn't tell my parents because they would think I was out of my mind and seeing things. The next time he reappeared, he told me his name was Arthur. I always found it strange that he appeared in the exact same spot in the house, in the corner of my room. I also noticed he had a lot of bruising around his neck. I asked him about it once, but he looked very sheepish and then disappeared. He didn't look that old. Maybe in his mid-40s?
I know the twist.
Do you?
I know what's happening. Why he's always in that corner of the room with a bruised neck.
At the time, I was going through a rough spell with depression. He started appearing every time my head was in a dark place, and he started encouraging these negative thoughts and feelings. This is when I realised he wasn't just a spirit visiting somewhere he used to live. I felt he had caught on to the negative energy around me and encouraged it to make him stronger. This is when I told my parents. I think they had thought it was just voices in my head to do with my mental health. We sought medical help, but I just felt that nobody took it seriously. That's when we decided we needed to move out of the house. The thing was, as soon as I left the house, it all stopped. He left me alone, the voices stopped. That's how I knew I wasn't simply going mad or having some sort of episode. When I told him we were moving, he was angry and told me, "You're mine." That's when the figure of two girls appeared. Every time they appeared, he would disappear. They were about the same age I was at the time, 15 or 16. One of them spoke to me. Her name was Mary. And she said that I needed to leave, to get out and to save myself from him. I believed her. There was even one time where Mary possessed me. I have no recollection of any of it. So I'll just tell you what my parents told me about it as they witnessed it. I was lying in my bed crying and they were there comforting me. Apparently, my body went stiff for around 5 to 10 seconds. And then I started talking. But it wasn't my voice. I was saying, "Get out, get out. You need to protect yourselves from him. Save yourselves." And then I had a coughing fit and came to. When my parents and I eventually moved out of the house, it felt like a breath of fresh air, like a weight had been lifted off our shoulders. Luckily, the sale of my parents' business meant we could buy and move into a new house before selling. I'm very appreciative that we managed to do that because I was just at the point where I needed to be out of that house. When we moved into our new home, we got chatting to one of our neighbours and it turned out that he was a medium. We told him about all of our experience with the old house and he offered to go down there with one of his medium friends to see if they picked up on anything. Now, we didn't tell him all the details, but what he and his medium friends found out was amazing. Turns out Arthur was a priest who lived there in the 1870s. It turned out he had held two girls captive there, Mary and Elizabeth, and he accidentally killed them. He felt so guilty and ashamed of what he did that he ended up hanging himself,
yes.
You guessed it,
yes.
In the corner of what would become my bedroom.
Yes!
We managed to sell the house a year ago. We did tell the new owners that we had some spiritual activity, but we didn't tell them the full extent of it. We didn't want to sell the house to a family who had any young girls, as we didn't want them experiencing anything similar to what I did. Luckily, it was a lovely elderly couple who bought it. And when we told them about it being slightly haunted, they thought it was rather splendid.
Oh. Luckily, it's only a couple of elderly people to be haunted and not any younger
people.
Yeah,
they're close to death anyway. I've now become very aware of the fact that I can see and sense spirits, even in the home we live in. I sense my grandparents who passed away a few years ago. I wouldn't say I would never again live in a haunted house because I feel all houses have history to them, even new builds, as there will be history to the land they're built on, just as long as the spirits are friendly and wish me no harm.
Said she's up for it, but she sounded like she had a horrible time.
Yeah, you know.
So, I mean, she just likes punishment, or?
Yeah, maybe she's lonely.
No.
Or some ghost friends.
No.
But well done for seeing where that was going.
Yeah, no one saw it coming either. It was such an obscure twist. I don't know how I got it.
Well, you didn't know that you had two little girls held captive, did you?
Well, no, I didn't.
No.
You didn't mention anything about the girls beforehand.
Yeah, I did. She said she saw two little girls and they told her to leave.
Was that before the bruised neck?
Yes.
Well, I'm not sure.
Well, when people listen back, they can let us know. Story four?
Four?
Because Hitler one was small.
You had romance.
Yes.
We've had Hitler. And then we've had the man that hanged himself.
Yes. Kidnapped children.
Kidnapped children. This is quite a mix.
It is.
I don't know what to predict for this next one.
The supernatural has always interested me. I grew up watching Most Haunted and Ghost Hunters. And
yes.
Now I love BuzzFeed Supernatural series.
Oh.
I don't think ghosts are real in the sense that you can see an apparition of someone who died. But I do believe you can communicate with other spirits who would go through a journey to be able to communicate with you. I also believe in being possessed and objects having spirits attached to them. When we experienced the odd imaginary friend situation and heard footsteps in the house, etc., we didn't jump to ghosts until quite late on. It was one of those things where if you'd watch it on a film, you'd say, why wouldn't you move out when you can hear things in the attic or running around upstairs? But we really didn't think much of it straight away. One of my cousins who I lived with was only a tiny human when it began, and he was somewhat mischievous. But when he began to say, Bella Luthea made me do it, we were like, who? Bella was someone only my cousin Tom could see and talk to, apparently a girl who I think was about 5 years old. For context, when I was about 13 myself, my sister and my dad moved into a bigger house with my auntie, uncle and my two cousins, who were 3 and 5 at the time. It was a house that was relatively old, but nothing ancient. My sister and I shared a room on the bottom floor, and my dad was always in the room next to us, and we had our own bathroom. Upstairs, the kids had their own rooms, and my auntie and uncle had a room upstairs as well. My youngest cousin Tom was a mischievous kid, and there were stories where he saw people and once said to his mum, who's that man in the kitchen? And on investigating, there was no one there. When he moved into this house with us, he would start to misbehave and would say, Bella told me to do it. It was such a specifically odd name that thought, what 3-year-old would come up with that name? Because it's Bella Luthea.
Mm.
Then my sister and I started getting bruises and hearing noises that spooked us, but we hadn't put 2 and 2 together. One night I heard running upstairs, and I said to my auntie the next morning that I heard Tom run around and asked if he'd had a rough night's sleep. She said no, he slept all night in his bed. I said no, I definitely heard a little kid run about last night, and they said he didn't wake them up at all, which he typically would. Bella would then start talking to Tom more and more, and he would say, Bella said it's time to go play upstairs now. We started to ask Tom who Bella was, and he was saying she's a little girl who likes to play, but we can't see her. We kind of thought he had an imaginary friend, but he would do really obscure and dangerous things that weren't like him, like trying to throw himself down the stairs, chewing through electrical cords, hitting himself. I kept thinking I could hear people in the kitchen. When I'd go to look, no one was there. There's been a few people who experienced the kitchen and thought someone was there with them when there wasn't. And Tom told my sister there's someone in the kitchen. Oh, sorry. I've just repeated the same bit. Let me just say that again. Tom told my sister there's someone in the kitchen and there wasn't. I'd think I could hear stuff from the attic when I was upstairs. And we even got someone to inspect the loft thinking there were animals because it was so noisy. Again, they found nothing. I asked my sister what she remembers, and she said she remembers a balloon that wasn't helium floating upwards and staying in the air and then being pulled about a bit. And Tom said Bella was holding the balloon. When we started to feel a bit more creeped out in the house, we googled Bella Luthea. The name translates to beautiful light, which is often to do with angels, angelical meanings. We couldn't find anything too other than a book called The Haunting of Bella Luthea. But after we had that thought, we became terrified of Bella and who she'd asked my cousin to hurt next. It was minimal violence, not much a 3-year-old could do. We moved out a year or so after, and my cousin hasn't had any weird contact with Bella since and doesn't remember a thing, which is normally weird because children do tend to remember their imaginary friends. I never got to the point where we were too scared to stay there. We kind of laughed about it, but when Tom turned creepy, we would all start to freak out. We were more worried about him being hurt, but he seemed to have a good pact with Bella. That would mean they'd play together and sometimes just be a little bit naughty. I never thought about the fact that the next tenants might experience it because I assumed that whatever it was attached to my cousin. I don't think I could live in a haunted house, but I'd love to experience it for a night in a properly haunted place. I always think, though, when you know what kind of ghost experience to expect, you create the fear yourself, and every noise you hear you assume is a ghost. I think if I live somewhere and it had a friendly spirit in there, I wouldn't mind. But the first time of a paranormal activity moment and I'd be out. Although that's easier said than done and it would make a good viral video.
Gotta think about that content.
Yeah.
Sounds like playful and everything. He was chewing through electrical cables. I mean, that's not mildly dangerous and playful, is it?
Did you have a favourite?
I did like the Hitler one. I mean, that sounds bad. That sounds bad. No,
absolutely confessing your love for Hitler on this episode.
No, cut that. No, the one in the mill is quite interesting because we have loads of those sort of buildings around here anyway. And yeah, I always think that they're clearly haunted.
Well, I played a little trick on you.
Oh, Christ.
So that was 4 stories.
Right.
and three are real life accounts.
Right.
And one is an AI ghost story.
AI ghost story.
I went on ChatGPT.
Oh, you're fueling
them. And I asked it to write me a ghost story.
That's really
good.
And I said
I'd like it from a first person's account, and could it write me a ghost story? So, you got to try and work out which one it was.
I think it's the first one.
Oh, he's got it.
Have I?
What made you think that, though?
Well, I don't know. I was trying to think of one which was grammatically not quite up there with the other ones.
Yeah, I tried to pick some that are, you know, like very Reddit versions. Yeah. Well written and, yeah.
That's really cool.
You wouldn't get it that quick, though.
I do apologise.
Well, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to have a little bit of fun with AI and see if it could write me a good ghost
story. That's really cool, though. It can. It can. It weren't like a bad story.
No, and I said I wanted it to be 1,000 words, and it wrote me a 1,000-word ghost story.
Wow.
Well, actually, it was 938 words.
Well, AI is not quite up there yet, is it? AI is scary, though.
It did creep me out, though, because I didn't put my name into it, and it called the victim Sarah.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, don't know if I like that. But, yeah. So there you go.
What a twist.
Ghost story surprise.
Wow. You know what? I just remembered you told me weeks ago that this was an episode with a twist.
Yeah.
And I totally forgot you said that. So you got me really well.
So Hitler's story was true. And Aldrin's story was true. And Bella Lucia. But yeah, the one that involved Sarah.
I thought.
Which is funny though, because that's obviously the one that you felt you knew what was coming.
I felt Bella Lucia was like, that was a really specific name, mm-hmm. which the chap. The GPT probably wouldn't get.
Yeah.
And then the other one with the priest and the two kids, that was also really specific.
Yeah.
Which made me think, oh, it probably wouldn't be AI come up with that. And then the other one, I don't see an AI coming up with a Hitler ghost story without that being prompted. So that was probably my like process of elimination.
Yeah. It's interesting though that one is the one that you saw what was coming, because I guess they went as traditional as they could with, you know, what you sort of expect to hear in a paranormal story.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go.
Wow.
Hope you enjoyed.
Yeah.
You were like, oh, it's just another fucking ghost story episode.
We'll use some AI art to come up with the picture for this.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
It's nice to have a little bit of fun with AI.
No, it's scary. No,
absolutely
it's
absolutely terrifying.
Eventually, it will destroy us all.
Well, here you go.
And it's stealing work from artists as well, but we'll ignore that.
Yeah, I can't really credit that story anyone, sorry. Yeah, there you go.
Thank you very much.
Who do you want to recommend to?
Our robot overlords.
Fair, absolutely fair. We'll go with that. Well, there you go. I wonder if everyone at home worked it out that it was story one.
Yeah.
You have to let us know if you...
Let us know what one you thought
obvious.
Was AI straight away.
Yeah. Perfect.
Wonderful.
Well, you can write to us and tell us all about it at harleystrangepod@gmail.com.
You can follow us on Instagram at harleystrangepod.
You can find us on Facebook. And if you could leave us some reviews or any friendly little 5-star ratings,
leave
very
us
much appreciate
AI written review.
Yeah, go on AI and write best review for podcasts and just copy and paste.
That's fantastic.
We hope you have a wonderful week. We'll see you next week.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
You like my little twist then?
That was really cool.